We desire the Lord to meet with us tonight, don't you? This is a little continuation of the service this morning, but possibly in a little different way. This morning we were speaking of Christian and how he started out and how that it was not long before he had a battle that could have taken his life. And yet, in that conflict, he was able to get a hold of his sword and dealt a deadly wound to Apollyon, and he rose up as a new man. And our thoughts this morning had to do with the battles of life, and that we are all going to have battles and conflicts and combat. We spoke about combat being many times just one-on-one, hand-to-hand combat. You've heard of that kind of fighting. We spoke of a duel. A lot of times it is just me and the enemy of my soul that is in conflict. So tonight we want to consider this, just a little portion of a couple of verses. And it says, "Let this mind be in you." And the other portion of a verse is, "As a man thinketh, so is he." So now we want to read 2 Timothy 2. We're going to read verses 3 and 4. And I want you to keep those first two verses in your mind. We need to think like a soldier. It says, "Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." And for the remaining part of that verse, which is significant, but we want us to keep our mind on the part that says we're not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. If we're going to fight this war as a good soldier. But it says that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier. So we are here tonight, and we have a song. "I've enlisted in the army," in the
service.
We're going to call it the Army of the Lord, mm-hmm. "Till I Die." It's a military conflict, and we are all soldiers. We may not feel like soldiers, but we're going to have to probably from now on, if not before, we need to start thinking like soldiers. We need to have that kind of mind in us. We need to have a mind that is not ambushed. A lot of times there, well, we spoke of it in Sunday school, how that children of Israel and Jehoshaphat, there was a great army that was coming against them. And they said, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." That's how you have to think. You have to have that kind of a mind, the mind of a soldier. Now, they didn't feel like soldiers. They felt like there was a defeat coming. But the Lord, he's the captain, and he told them what to do. And he said, "This battle is my battle. Now, you just do this, and I'm going to send ambushments. I'm going to cause them to fight each other." And you're not even going to have to fight in this. So we need to have a mind that says the battle is the Lord's.
Yes.
We need to endure hard things. There's going to be some hard things come in each one of our lives. Expect it. Have it in. Did you know a soldier never joins the Army or the Air Force or our Navy, or I'm talking about our literal, they don't join it to have fun. At least they shouldn't. They shouldn't think, oh, this is going to be a cupcake. They shouldn't think that. If our country is in trouble at all, which we have been, our soldiers have gone and fought in places that they didn't even know how to fight, but they faced great dangers, and many of them lost their lives. So they went into it knowing, I may lose my life. I've got to face the danger. So that mind was in them, and they had to endure hard things, and the Lord is calling for us to endure hard things to be a good soldier, because he has chosen us. And we cannot entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. Now, tonight I would like for us to have the freedom to add to the little thoughts. So I'm going to ask the question, what does it mean to entangle ourselves with the affairs of life?
It's so engrossed that you're entangled. The person that would be entangled would be somebody I would think of as bound up with it.
Yeah, that's a good thought. Entangled would be that you would be in bound up. So that's a good thought, but
more than being just involved.
Would you say that it could also be preoccupied? Be more preoccupied with the cares of life or the affairs of life than what we should be. That was one of the thoughts that we brought out this morning of the enchanted ground, where people was easily to fall asleep on that place because they had to stay awake and alert. We can go about the affairs of our life, our work. God calls for our men to go and work. That's an order. And so he's not going to send you out there to work and not give you some kind of a weapon of warfare while you're on your job, that you will be able to still have a mind like a soldier. You'll still be able to think of it. And those of us that may have other duties in our life, he wants us to still carry on the burdens of our own soul, of the souls of others. We go about our duties. We're not just ignoring the spiritual aspect. So therefore, we can still have that mind in us also. So we cannot entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life and still be a good soldier. Okay.
2 Peter 2:20.
After they had escaped the pollutions of the world,
through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
through the knowledge of what?
The knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay.
They are again entangled therein.
And overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning. So if we allow the cares of this world to affect us, then we will be less effective. It makes me think of And I have spoken it here different times, but there is such a truth in it that I try to keep it close in my mind, what Brother Philip said to me one time. And I was being affected by something that was negative, and I said to him, "Well, Brother Philip, I'm just not going to do this, this, and this again." And he said, "If we give a portion of our mind to the devil, we are 60% less effective." And so I got a hold of that. And I said, am I willing to be only 40% effective? So that's with the cares of this life. Being entangled, that would be similar to that. Giving more of myself to the affairs of life, it makes me only 40% effective. I'm not willing for that. Are you? I want to be 100% effective. So, somebody else have a word?
I think this goes along with what Brother Warren read.
Okay.
Revelations 2 and 4.
Revelations 2 and 4.
Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee.
Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee.
Because thou hast left thy first love.
Thou hast left thy first love. That does go with it.
So is that what it's meaning, that if we go out here and entangle, backsliding?
You can be backsliding and not be backslidden, but you're coming to it. But the Lord can help us and stop us from reaching that point. But yes, we can be slipping away and losing our first love. And we all have to keep a check on how our love is. If we are hot, there's another scripture in there, long in there in Revelations 2. And he said, "I would rather that you be cold. I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm." Because he said, "I'm going to what? I will spew you out of my mouth if you're only lukewarm. I want you to be hot. But I'd rather you be cold so you'd know where you are." Basically, that's how I read that. But if we are in that lukewarm state, we'll be like being on the enchanted ground. And we will be sleepy and drowsy and not alert and less effective. But we need to have the mind of a good soldier. We need to think like one, and we need to act like one. So our next question is this: how does a soldier think? What do you think? How does a soldier think?
They're very goal-oriented.
Goal-oriented? That's a good term.
You give them a mission, you give them parameters, and then they do their best to fulfill the mission within those parameters.
I like that.
Things that intrude on that aren't covered in the briefing would generally be referred to as a snag, which actually sounds similar to entangle.
Yes, a snag would be like an entanglement. But to have, I like the part you said about a mission and being goal-oriented?
Yes.
I like that. So would that be having the mind of a soldier? I think that would be. What else? I don't have the answers. I'm asking you all. I have some thoughts. But how would a soldier need to think? If you were preparing for a battle and you knew you were facing a fight, how would you be thinking? Now, in the children of Israel, the Lord said to them one time, "You have too many soldiers." And he said, "Now everybody that's afraid needs to go home." And a majority of them went home. They were looking for soldiers that were thinking like soldiers. And so then the next time they had a cut, He said, I want you to take them down to the water, and everyone that laps like a dog, like that, they're the ones you're going to take. The others, send them back home. And they came down to just a few. What was it, 300?
Who would drink like that anyway?
Well, it had to be a soldier that was thinking of war.
Focused.
They knew what the mission was. And they knew they had to be watching. Because when they were down drinking out of the water, their eyes were not looking. But if they were pulling the water up to them like this and drinking it, they were looking.
They had weapons.
What?
They had to put their weapons down.
Yes.
You would be drinking with your hands. You would be putting your weapons down.
Yes.
So your armor and your weapons are important.
Come right in and sit down. We're welcoming you all. We're having a little Bible study tonight. And we don't mind giving you a little review so that you can catch up with us. But we're happy to have you here. This morning we had a little message on Pilgrim's Progress and how that he fought many battles that could have taken his life. Tonight, we are talking about having the mind of a soldier. And we have only begun just a little while ago, and we've read the scripture that we need to endure hardness as a good soldier, and not to he that warreth does not entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please the one that has chosen him to be a soldier. So we're talking now about how does a soldier think. And so one of the things that was said, I think I'll ask Dalen to sort of recap what he said.
I said that a soldier is goal and mission oriented. They basically have a set of parameters and a goal, and they have to accomplish the goal within the parameters, and so they focus on that and lay aside other things. And things that fall outside of that, of the mission parameters, are usually referred to as snags.
Yeah, it's like an ensnarement, or it's entangling. And we were also thinking this morning, or talking about Pilgrim's Progress, as they passed through the enchanted grounds, and it's when they could hardly stay awake. The atmosphere was such, there was a drowsiness that they wanted to go to sleep, and they had to fight to stay awake, and in order to get past that enchanted grounds. And we are there. And we spoke this morning about when we have a hard battle, and I actually said that it hasn't been but just a few weeks ago that I was in one of the hardest battles of my ministry, and yet when I was able to gain victory and seemingly had been brought out into a wealthy place, then the enemy wanted to take advantage of that place like the enchanted grounds and almost make you numb, and that you didn't really be inspired when you read, you didn't feel inspired when you prayed, you just had this feeling of numbness over your mind and over your spirit. And that is a great danger, and a soldier cannot be effective and find themselves in that kind of a dangerous place of feeling numb and can't think and can't act. So now we're asking, somebody else had a thought that we might incorporate, I think it was Sister Rosa, and she spoke of the entanglements as being, what word did you say?
Like
bound. Yeah, wrapped around or bound. So we don't want to entangle ourselves in the affairs of life. And we said that God calls for the man to go out on the job and to be the breadwinner and he's ordered that, and yet God can cause you to go with the mind of a soldier, and you can go praying. Anybody else now? How does a soldier have to think to face the enemy? What does a soldier need to know about the enemy? Literally, what does a soldier? Let's relate to a literal. When they send any of our troops over, say, to Afghanistan, that's not too much in the news right now, but it was, and it was a very dreaded place to go because they didn't know who the enemy was. But the military did not send them in there totally ignorant. So what did they have to know about the enemy?
That he wants to kill them.
That the enemy wants to kill them. They must always be on their guard because the enemy wants to kill them. Does our enemy want to kill us?
Yes.
Absolutely. How do I know that? It's just in my mind? Okay. How do I know if it's in my mind? What does the scripture say? The enemy comes just for that one. That's his main purpose. We need missions and purpose, but the devil came into this world with a purpose, and you are the target. He is your enemy. Tell me what else you know about the devil. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. What else do you know?
He doesn't care how long it takes.
What?
He doesn't care how long it takes.
He doesn't care how long it takes? How long will it take? How long is he willing to work? A lifetime. He will be there just like it was with Christian as he was passing over the river. He couldn't find his footing. The enemy was coming against his mind, bringing back his sins of the youth to his mind. I made a statement this morning that the older we get, the harder the battles. You would think it would be otherwise. It's because the enemy is still out to get us before we leave this world. So I've got to think like a soldier. So what do I have to know about the devil? What else do I have to know about the devil?
He's a liar.
He's a liar. Do you believe that? How do you know it? Has he ever told you a lie and it proved to be a lie?
He's the biggest con artist.
He's a con artist. That's a good one. Okay, we have to identify the enemy. So what else? There's still more we can say about the devil. He's our enemy. I'm looking. Go ahead.
You don't know there's a devil until you kind of live a life for God.
We don't always know it's the devil.
Well, what I'm saying is when the devil has you, you don't really know he's around. But when you're being converted, you're trusting God, you're going to go home and study. You're tired. But the minute you quit studying, you're alive. When it's something else to do with something besides God, you have all kinds of energy. When it comes to standing up and talking about God or testimony or something, sing a song, you're all scared and shaky. So
by what he has said tonight, what is a word to describe that? He is an opposer. He is an opposer of all that is good and right and holy. He is an opposer of the people of God. And Brother Robin just said, well, when you're out there, you know, he probably isn't after you. He's still after you, even when you're out there.
Well, I'll put it this way. When I was out in sin, I knew I was of the devil.
I used to tell my best friend, we was out drinking, we go swimming, and I said, I know the devil's in me. I said, one day I'm going to be free from the devil. And believe me, when I did get free from the devil, it made the devil mad because he's bothered me in a lot more harder ways than he ever did in my life.
Well, I agree with what you're saying. And we really can't put the devil in a box. And we can't say this is how he's going to be with everyone. But there is one thing I do know from the scriptures. He is a deceiver. And he will deceive the very elect, if possible. And the scripture tells us that. If he wants to deceive me and blind, the scripture says he wants to blind what? We think it says eyes. It says your mind. When you think about your mind being blind, that's a very important thing because the mind is the battleground. That's where we fight a lot of our battles, is right here in our mind. And that's what we want to address a little bit later tonight. It's something we have to be awake and alert to, that the enemy is trying to mess with my mind. And that's why I've got to think like a soldier. Okay? So, I have something here I just want. There's just a few things I want to read here. Lauren read this in Sunday school this morning, and it just sort of caught my attention. So I wanted to read it here tonight. This is something we need to do to be a soldier. Keep close to God and to your duty. Don't lose sight of your duty. And then it says, wait on the Lord by faith and prayer and humble resignation to his will. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And now waiting is a very important part of being a soldier. You remember the story where the king had, I believe, three young men, and they were to run a race. And the one that won the race was to be the next king, if I remember the story correctly. Do you remember this story? And so they all lined up, but he said that they were to watch him and only run when they saw the signal. They were all to watch carefully. Well, one of them thought he blinked his eye just right, and he started to run. And the next one, he saw that one start, and he started. So they both took off running because they thought surely he had given the signal. But there was one that stayed. And he said, I knew you could run. I wanted to see if you could wait. And that's what being a soldier is of Jesus Christ, is waiting. Waiting for grace. Waiting for an answer to prayer. Waiting for the victory. Wait for the victory. If it doesn't come right now, wait for it. Pursue it. Seek after it. That's being a good soldier.
Unexpected waiting.
It's not just a laid-back waiting, is it? It's one that, it's not passive. That's good. So, waiting on the Lord is a big part of being a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next part says, whatever you do, grow not remiss in your attendance upon God. What does that mean? I'll read it again. Whatever you do, grow not remiss in your attendance upon God. Some of this is old language. This is old. This is from Matthew Henry. So we need a little modern vocabulary here. What does the word remiss mean? Slack?
Negligent?
What? What did you? Neglectful? So we can put those words now in and say it this way. Whatever you do, grow not neglectful in your attendance. Lost my place. Up on God. I want to tell you something. We are going to have our mind stayed upon God every minute of the day. You say, well, I can't do that. My mind would get weary. Do you get weary fighting? You do. And what scripture do we have about weariness? Be not weary in what? Well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. We've got to hold on. Be true. Remember when Christian saw Apollyon coming toward him, he wanted to run, but he knew he didn't have any armor for his back. So he faced the fight. So we must face the fight, but make sure that you do not neglect your salvation. Neglect the things of God. And then the last part said, be of good courage. You know that's easier said than done. There's been a lot of times I did not have the courage. And I couldn't rake it up. I couldn't make it come on me for anything in the world. And at those times, what are we to do? What are we to do? Stand still. When you can't find the courage and you can't find anything else to do, stand still and do what? See what? See the salvation of the Lord. He's not going to leave you in that place so long that you dry up. He's going to come, and he won't be a minute too late. Thank the Lord. And he will give you courage. And listen to the rest of this about courage. Be of good courage. Let your hearts be fixed, trusting in God, and your minds stayed upon him. And then let none of these things move thee. Those that wait upon the Lord have reason to have good courage. So we can encourage ourselves in the Lord, but it's going to be waiting on the Lord till he comes. And that one scripture said, till he comes and rains what? Righteousness upon you. Oh, I tell you, you just study the Pilgrim's Progress, you'll find he wasn't always encouraged. And it was a normal walk of life. And you and I are going to find our places that we're going to have to fight to go on. But you're going to have to think like a soldier. Okay. Anybody else have anything else?
In the art of war, my son too, there are several principles that are laid out.
One of them is that you secure your own position. You guard against the possibility of defeat. Mm-hmm. Your first goal is to make sure you can't be defeated before you do anything else. Mm-hmm. And then as long as you can hold that position, you can't be defeated. One thing the devil likes to do is, say you're the city that is well defended, well guarded, and they've secured themselves against the possibility of defeat. So the devil can't go burn the city down. Instead, he'll try to convince the people that there's a plague in the city and the only way to survive it is to burn their own city down.
Yes. Well, I have down here, be outfitted with the best armor and weapons. And that was part of the message this morning, too. Before Christian went on his journey, he was fitted or harnessed, the book says, with his own armor. And it was made just his size. And it was proven just for him. And that's how you and I, the Lord has an armor for each one of us. Now, I want us to talk a little bit about the armor because it is all part of being a soldier. And I want to say this. I read this in one of the commentaries, that the ancient Greek and Roman soldiers were constantly armed. The ancient Greek and Roman soldiers, now we're just looking at them in the natural, but they were constantly armed. What does that say to you and me? Do we have a place that we need to lay our armor down, or we need to lay our weapons down? Because having a weapon and having the armor is very important in being a good soldier. It said also that they prayed to the gods for success. So if they did that to their gods that could not hear or see or speak, how much more should you and I pray to our God that sees and knows and hears and speaks and smells and is able to help us? So don't leave off prayer. Let's turn now to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And we're going to read verses 10 through 18. Okay, it says, let's start at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are wiles of the devil?
Tricks.
Tricks. What else? Is he a trickster?
Tactics.
Tactics. Yes. He may come in one way one day, and the next day come in a completely different way. I've experienced it. Can't even, you're almost taken by surprise. Well, I didn't realize that was the devil. He will one day try to speak to you and use your voice. And you'll think it's you talking or you speaking in your mind. And you know it's not what you think and what you want. And you have to stop and say, wait a minute. That's the devil. I don't want that. Lord, you know I don't want that. And what are we to do then as a soldier when that happens? Resist. Resist the devil, and what will he do? He must flee because the word says it. Rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid to resist the devil. He is a defeated foe. Now, he acts like he isn't, but he is. He was defeated when Jesus died on the cross. Even before, when his disciples came and said, the devils are subject to us in your name. And what did he say? He spoke something that has many people out there misinterpreting the word of the Lord. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And now people think, because Jesus said that, that the devil was once in heaven. But he's not talking about that at all. He's talking about how the devil had control in the lofty places of men's lives. And in Jesus' name, he lost his power and he fell just like a bolt of lightning out of heaven. That's what that means. And we don't have to worry about the devil having been in heaven because Jesus defeated him. Remember, he is a defeated foe. Now let's go on reading here. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What does that mean? It's pretty plain. What does it mean to you?
That the things that are coming against you aren't, if it's a person that's saying mean things to you, it's not really that person. It's the devil. It's principalities. And if you look at that and you say, that's not so-and-so, that's not my friend, that is the devil. And I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. You have power, but if you don't have, if it's in your own name, you don't have power. But in Jesus' name, you have power.
I don't know if we will be able to get to the scripture that has been on my heart for a while. So I may just quote it. I don't think we're going to have the time. But the scripture says, casting down imaginations.
2 Corinthians 10.
10 and 4. You can read it. Go ahead. Though we walk in the flesh,
we do not war after the flesh.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty
through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Yes. Thank the Lord.
Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought.
We have to bring into captivity every thought.
To the obedience of Christ.
To the obedience of Christ. And when somebody comes against you and somebody hurts you and it's going to happen, and if you've never had it happen to you up to this time, raise your hand. If you have, you can raise your hand. How many of us have experienced it? All of us. And were we not tempted to look at that person and say, they're my enemy? That is common for you and me to feel that way. But it is just like Sister Rosa said, we need to recognize this is the devil and not this person. The devil is using this person to contest us, to hurt us, to wound us, to crush us. It's the devil. So we do not wrestle. We don't fight against man or brother or sister or whoever it is. Now, David had a hurt. And who was it? We don't know the name. He never told it. But he said, it wasn't my enemy out there. I'll use this term. It wasn't the Moabite or whatever other ite there was. It wasn't him. But it was the one that I walked to the house of the Lord with. And that's the one that can hurt us the worst. And that's the one the enemy wants to use to divide, to separate. And that's when you and I have to cast down imaginations. And I had a definition for imaginations, and I couldn't find it when I'd written it on something. But imaginations is when I'm forming something in my mind as an image. Imagine or image. It's part of the root word, image. So I can have an image in my mind. And recently, when I was passing through what I was passing through, I confided in a minister. And this person said, you know, I believe that the devil is making this larger than what it really is. And I got a hold of that. I was able to see what the enemy was trying to do with imaginations. And I was able then to cast it down. That has to be the work of the soldier. And that has to be your job and my job. Lord, help us. So now we're going to finish reading. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness, wherever it is. This says high places. But I'm telling you, it's wherever it is, that's who we wrestle against. And it says, now, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day. What is the evil day? It's not just the coming of the Lord. It's that day when you're battling to the point that you think you can't go on. That's the evil day. And having done all, stand. And stand, having your loins girt about with truth. I want to tell you something. Imaginations, 99% of the time, is not the truth. And that's why we need to not have it. It's blown out of proportion. It's creating this thought and that thought. And it's 99% of the time, it's a lie from the devil. So we need truth. Think on these things. Whatsoever is true, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is righteous, whatsoever is of a love, of a good report, whatsoever. Those are the things we are to train our soldier mind to think on. Weigh it against that. Is this thing true? Well, yes, it may be true, but is it lovely? Is it a good report? Cast it down. Cast it down. And then it says, having the breastplate of righteousness. And let me tell you, you've got to make sure you're in the right way. You've got to make sure that you're righteous. Is it your righteousness? You and I cannot trust in our own righteousness. We must have the righteousness of God. That must be what's covering my heart. Listen, protecting my heart from evil thoughts, protecting my heart from the wicked one is righteousness. And then it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. One thing I read about the shoes for a soldier was that they had like cleats on the bottom. You know, like cleats that are worn with playing football. It's to give them traction so they don't slip. God wants you and me to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. The gospel are the cleats in our footing that we not slide back. And then it says, above all, take the shield of faith. Oh, I want to tell you, we've got to have the shield of faith. It will ward off all of the fiery darts. It will quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. And then it says, take the helmet of salvation. Protect your mind from the lies of the enemy and the blows of the enemy and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then verse 8, I want us to consider as a weapon now tonight. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're going to talk now in closing about prayer. And I have something I would like to read to you out of Streams in the Desert that has been an encouragement to me just recently. And it goes along with something that Dalen said just a little bit ago. It's not very long, and you're going to have to draw your mind in to hear it, because some of it is in an older language. And it's speaking about Napoleon, and when they were going to war, it said that he would observe where the best or strategic position for the battlefield would lay. He assessed it. He looked around, and he said, I want the battle to happen right here because I will have the best advantage against the enemy. That's how we need to think against the enemy. Assess it. How can I have the best advantage against the devil? And so then it says that he would then thrust all of his forces and his resources into conquering and keeping that position no matter the sacrifice of the troops. Now, it's applied spiritually. To claim spiritual conquest, soldiers in the army of God must be prepared and alert to do the same thing. The point of obstruction, now that might be another vocabulary there, but the point, what word can we put of obstruction that would make it our day, our language? The point of what?
Hindrance.
That's a good one. The point where I'm meeting the opposition must be found out. And prayer focused upon it. One of the weapons was all prayer and supplication. That's a weapon. That's a weapon that we carry with us. Remember, the Greeks and the Romans were armed constantly. This is one of your weapons that you need to carry with you constantly. And you can do it. You can do your work and still pray. You can do your work and have a heart that is crying out to the Lord. And remember the message recently of moaning and groaning before the Lord, and how when we have said all we can say, He still has a plan. The Holy Spirit will make groanings and utterings that you and I can't make before the Father. So He still has a plan. When you've reached your limit of what you can say before the Lord, He's going to hear the Holy Spirit interceding. And so it says this point of obstruction must be found out and prayer focused upon it. The mind must be convicted. We've got to have convictions that this is the way to win the battle. The will must be stirred into the right action. Your will is affected every day. My will. Our will. Sometimes we're weary. We're weary. But we have to encourage ourselves and have a will for right action. And it says, on the obstruction, whatever it may be, as it is revealed through waiting upon God. There it is again. We've got to wait upon God. Prayer must be concentrated. Concentrate. It's like the battering rams. That was an ancient weapon of warfare when they were trying to penetrate a city with walls and a moat and a gate. What they did, they took a battering ram and a number of men got hold of it and they rammed it into the door, into the gate, until it came down. That's what prayer is. You're going to have to bombard heaven to get some answers. And not give up. Focus upon, this is your main weapon. It is a weapon to cast down imaginations. But I want to tell you, when you learn to pray for every situation that you can't change, things are going to come that we can do nothing about. Only God can intervene and change the situation. So its prayer must be concentrated. The weapon of prayer against the forces of evil prevails. And that's our little thought this evening. And then Paul said in closing, I have fought what? A good fight. And what have I kept? I kept the faith. I want to tell you, we're going to have to fight to keep the faith. We're going to have to think like a good soldier. We're going to have to learn how to pray. We're going to have discernment. Where is the real focus of this battle? It's not in my imaginations. Because remember, most of my imaginations is a lie. It could have an element of truth, but it's clouded in lies from the devil. So, Lord, help us all. Anybody else would like to make a comment? I don't want anyone to be left out. I want you all to know that I am preaching to myself. I need this. As a matter of fact, I only was able to get it from the Lord because of what I've been through. And that's what the Lord does. He says that you have to be first a partaker of the fruit. You have to go through these things to get the taste of it. I was having trouble sleeping last night. I'll just testify about this. And Lauren and I had prayer. I told him, I said, I don't even know what to do tomorrow. I was so muddled in my mind. And so we had prayer last night and begging the Lord to give us a little message today. Normally, it's very difficult for me to sleep on Saturday night, and of course, I had trouble sleeping. But I prayed, and I said, Lord, I want you to wake me up at the hour that I need to study, or I can hear your voice. And he did that at 4 o'clock this morning. And so we went ahead and got up, and the Lord began to put some things on my heart. I want to tell you, it's a price. Messages that come from God is not just out of a book. It's not out of our mind. I pray, Lord, don't let this be of my own mind. Let this be the mind of the Spirit. I remember when I was working in the school here, and this only happened one time. I got the mail out here at the church, and here was a advertisement for volumes of books, of messages already prepared, outlined. And they even sent one that you could use. And I looked at that and I said, oh, how easy that would be. Oh, anybody can talk. Anybody can take those things, and they had all of the little stories already put in there, and it just looked so easy. What do you think I did with that thing? I dropped it in the trash. It's the only time. It was early on in my ministry. And it was the only time I ever saw an advertisement come to the church like that. The only way you can get a message from heaven is to pray it down. It is only by the Holy Ghost that can give messages to stir the hearts of the people and to stir my own heart. Pray for me.